So I want us to talk today not so much about what would typically be considered a Memorial Weekend message, but it is connected because we're going to talk about knowing Christ, knowing Him. We're continuing to look at the vision of Grace Bible Church and the passage of Scripture that God has revealed to me as part of the as the guideline for the vision of this congregation. This congregation needs to have vision in our lives. All of us need vision, no matter where we are or what we're doing. And Grace Bible Church needs a vision, and I believe God has given it to us in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read this passage again, and then I'll share with you the vision that is based upon the passage. Verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Lord God, we are thankful for this, Your Word, and we pray that now as we seek to look into it more intently, that You would reveal Your truth, that You would show us the things that we need to see here. We pray against the evil spirits that would try to distract us and lead us astray or in some way cause deception, and we pray against them in Jesus' name and bind them in His name. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would be the Spirit of truth, that You would reveal to us the truth here that we should see here. And we pray, Lord, that You would be glorified and pleased by our time in Your Word. We give this time to You for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace Bible Church, we seek to be filled with the true knowledge of His will, resting in all spiritual wisdom and understanding granted to us through His Word. We want to walk in a manner that is worthy of the name Jesus Christ, being perfectly pleasing to our Lord. We desire to see good fruit in every good work in which we are blessed to partake. We will increase in deep relationship with our Father in heaven. In all things, we will seek to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This will bring us strength not only to see fruitfulness and impact in our acts of service, but also to endure the trials and challenges that must necessarily come to the children of the kingdom while in this world. In every moment, we will offer unto the Father our gratefulness for the justification, deliverance, transformation, and redemption which He has granted to us through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the direction, the guidance, the guidelines for our church body. And honestly, I'm seeing this applicable to so many church bodies. But here in this church, these are the things that are important, that are key. We've talked about every aspect of this, and we're going to talk about every aspect of it until we're done. We started out focusing on the fact that He's saying, "I'm praying for you." He didn't say, I'm planning a conference I want you to attend. He didn't say, "These steps you need to do." He said, "I'm praying." It's dependence upon the Lord that brings these things about in our personal lives and in our church body. He said his desire was that they would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And how discerning the will of God, gaining understanding of His will, is very vital to the future of our church, future of our life. But the future of our church depends upon knowing His desires, what He wants, with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we learned how having wisdom, spiritual understanding, means that we see the spiritual pieces being played, and that we see bigger than just the physical. We don't just look at physical things, we look at spiritual things, which is truly where reality exists. The spiritual world is more real than the physical. When the Bible says that Jesus went to the true temple, to the true altar, and sprinkled His own blood as the perfect high priest and the perfect sacrifice before God in heaven, it was saying that the things that we see on this earth, if we were able to find the ark and build the temple again and make it all again, the physical things that we touch were just a shadow of the true reality in the spiritual realm. And how Jesus went to the true altar to sprinkle. That, what that's saying is that our spirit, the things that happen in the spiritual world, the eternal things, that's where true reality exists. And the things we see here, it's just temporary. It's just transitory. And it's real, but it's only real because it's based upon the spiritual. Anyway, I'm getting very philosophical here. But the bottom line is that seeing those spiritual pieces fall into place is the kind of life we need to live. And it's the kind of things that we need to do as a body of believers to see how the spiritual world is working and to see the movements of God's Spirit in and amongst us and to follow His will. And doing that, see in verse 10 he says that the purpose of those things is so that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We can walk in a manner that is worthy of the name Jesus Christ. People say those people are Christians, and that really means something. And we're worthy of His name. We just sang about a song about how sweet His name is. He's been given a name above every other name. The name of the Lord is more powerful and more majestic than anything else. And to be able to be worthy of that name is something really incredible. And to walk in a manner that is worthy of being identified with Jesus Christ is awesome. Being unto all pleasing. That is, we studied about how we want to be pleasing unto Him in every area of our lives. And in every moment, in every area, we would be pleasing to the Lord. That is something we are pursuing here. Being fruitful in every good work. We spoke about last week how important it is that a body of believers are fruitful in good works, that we bring forth eternal fruit in the world. If we are not doing that, we are not fulfilling the purpose for which we were redeemed. The Lord redeemed us from our sins, not just so He could have us with Him forever, but so that we could bring as many people with us as possible, so that we could effectively do good in the world. And if a body of believers is not effectively bringing forth good fruit in its community, it's not really doing any good. And it's not glorifying God in the way we were intended to. Jesus told us in His upper room discourse, John 15, He said, "Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit." That is the way we glorify God, by bringing forth fruit. If that's not important to us, if we're not actively engaged in good works, we're not truly being a church. That's just the biblical truth. We're not truly being God-honoring, God-glorifying church if we're not actively doing good work in the world. And today, I want us to focus on the last part of chapter 10, which is increasing in the knowledge of God. Bringing forth good fruit is not the only thing that we should be seeking. We should also be seeking to increase in the knowledge of God. Let's look at the Greek, because that's important. Increasing is the Greek word Oxano, and it means to grow, enlarge, augment, become greater. It's what every guy is seeking to do at the gym when he's working out. He's seeking to augment those muscles, to become greater. That's what it means. But it's what's more significant here, growth. But what's more significant is the tenses that are used. It is in the present passive participle. The passive voice means that the subject is the recipient of the action. If you're passive, it means things happen to you. If you're active, it means you are doing it. So this being in the passive voice means that increasing the growth that happens is happening to us. We are not making it happen. That's what it means when it's put in the passive voice. When we increase in this knowledge of God, it is being done unto us. We are not doing it. It means that we can't grow on our own. We do not cause the increase. We receive this increasing. And the present tense indicates to us that it is continuously happening. It is always now. It's present. It's happening now. The word for in, increasing in the knowledge of God, is the Greek word eis. And I've spoken of this in previous weeks, but it means into, unto, or toward. It's the Greek word that is not indicating a place of rest, which is the Greek word about being fruitful in every good work, resting in the good works. This is the Greek word that means into, increasing into the knowledge of God. We are growing into deeper knowledge of the Lord. And then the Greek word for knowledge. And I've actually preached an entire sermon about this one word. But this is a very important word in the Bible. And if you do a study on it, I think there's about 22 places where this Greek word is used. It's the Greek word epignosis. Epignosis. It means precise and correct knowledge. True knowledge. Full knowledge. That's what epignosis means. Epi is an intensifying prefix, which means up or upon. And gnosis means knowledge. It's factual information. It's a fact. Gnosis. So epignosis, therefore, means, putting it simply, extra knowledge, revealed knowledge. It speaks of something deeper than we can learn with our head. It's speaking of the knowledge of the heart. Things that are given to us, revealed to us. This type of understanding, this true and precise knowledge of spiritual reality, can only be revealed by God. How can a human being gain precise, true knowledge of spiritual realities except God reveals it to him? God has revealed so much in His Word. But even understanding the Word truly doesn't come except through the Holy Spirit bringing understanding to our minds and hearts. What is really there? What is the truth? Gaining epignosis, gaining true knowledge, requires the Spirit of God revealing it to us. Now, it might be possible to gain epignosis of worldly things without God revealing it in some way. But I am inclined to believe that we cannot truly know anything, small or great, without God somehow showing us. Somehow that seems to be true in my mind. And I believe that maybe even nothing, even about mechanics or, you know, nature or science, we can't truly know it unless God reveals it. That's, in part, I think that's why some of the greatest scientists were Christians. Kelvin, Newton, a lot of the greatest scientists were Christian men. But what Paul is praying here is that the Colossian Christians would allow the Father to cause them to grow in their true knowledge of Himself. He's praying that their relationship with God would grow. That increasing in the knowledge of God means that they would grow into a deeper, true knowledge of God Himself. He's not saying, I want you to know more about God. He's saying, I pray you will know God better. That's what he's telling them. My prayer is that you will know God better. It's kind of like, it's like knowing your baby. It is. It's like knowing your baby. When the baby's in the womb, we have a baby in the womb right now. We can eventually find out the gender of the baby. We can do tests and find out the genetics of the baby. We can find out if there's genetic abnormalities or if they're, you know, only the right number of chromosomes, the normal number of chromosomes, maybe they got an extra one. We can do, there's tests that you can do to find out all kinds of things. You can even take a picture of the baby in the womb. You can know if it's mom's nose or dad's nose. You can find out a whole lot of things about that baby while it's in the womb. But it is not until the baby is born and you look at that face and you spend time with that baby and you begin to look, that you begin to actually know that person. You begin to, the things like personality starts to be revealed. Likes and dislikes. Love languages start to show up. You begin to see individuality. You can't really tell their hair color till they're out. Or their eye color till you spend a few weeks with them. You begin to know that child when you spend time with them. That's the difference. I can know a lot about the baby before they're born, but once they're born and I actually see the person and I spend time with them, now I really know who they are. I begin to know. There's growth that happens there. That's the difference. We are not just to know about our Lord. We're not just to find out factual information. There's a lot of people, folks, that come to the Bible and they say, I want to learn about God. And they learn facts about Him. And they hear sermons where they can learn more facts. And facts are not wrong. They help inform us about a lot of things. But the facts are not the person. Knowing Him Himself requires we spend time with Him. Now, He reveals Himself to us in the Word. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying our thinking about it needs to be right. We are to seek to know Himself, not just to know what His hair color is, not just to know where He lives. What, you know, it's deeper than that. The fact is that the Bible teaches us that knowing the Lord is the primary pursuit of the Christian. Knowing the Lord is the primary pursuit of the Christian. That whole, it's not a religion, it's a relationship thing. That's actually real. That's true. That's not just a bumper sticker. It really is a relationship. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 tells us that all things that pertain unto life and godliness come through knowledge of God. Come through epignosis. That's the Greek word used there. Through epignosis of God, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's a ton of stuff that come through epignosis. That Greek word through is the word dia, and it means the channel of an act. The channel whereby all things that pertain unto life and godliness are imparted to us through epignosis of God. In Philippians 3, it's not the same Greek word, but Paul speaks of holding all things in this life as worthless compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. Everything is worthless compared to just the beauty and the joy and the pleasure of knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is the purpose, the meaning behind all of life. And anything that we do or seek or desire is empty and worthless if it's not done from the root of relationship with God. Relationship with Christ is the key to everything. It's the point of everything. Even good works and good fruit are meant to bring people into relationship with Jesus. That's the ultimate goal of even giving food to the hungry or clothes to the sick and needy. Visiting the prisoners in prison and comforting those that are weeping. The purpose of all of that is to draw them to Jesus in deep and fulfilling relationship. Who is this Jesus? Well, I found it interesting as I continued to listen to the rest of chapter 1 of Colossians. What wonderful things he says about Jesus. Remember at the end of verse 14 there, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." But let's continue to read a little more because it reveals a little bit about Jesus and who he is. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Jesus is the firstborn. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the thing that we see that reveals invisible God. He is the Godhead bodily personified. Verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." That means even the devil himself was created by Jesus. He has nothing. Jesus is the creator. The devil has nothing on Christ. He can't even hold a candle to the power and the awesomeness that is Jesus himself. Everything that exists, every angel, every spirit, every blade of grass, every bug, every person was created by him and for him. He is the meaning behind everything. That's the one we should increase to know. Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And in other translations it'll say, "By him all things hold together." It is currently, now, the word of the Lord. It is Jesus Christ himself that keeps the very molecules of our bodies from ripping apart. It's holding together every cell of our body, every cell that exists, every bug, every creature, every building. All things hold together. They consist, they find their consistency because Jesus is holding them up. That is our Jesus. That is our Savior. And he is the head of the body, the church. The head of Grace Bible Church too, folks. He is the head of this body. It is from him that we derive our thinking, derive our life, derive everything. He is the captain. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." He has in everything the preeminence. That means he is the absolute captain of everything, of every activity that we do in this church, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday evening, and anything else in between. He is the preeminent head of it all. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." I really can't say it better than the Bible says it. "In him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And it goes on to talk about how we were alienated from God, but we have been reconciled by His blood and have been given the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile things that are alienated from God unto Him again. Jesus was the first one to do that, to bring together those who were alienated and bring Christ, bring God the Father unto them and reconcile them in relationship again. And we follow in that example in His name, bringing those who are alienated from God unto Him again and saying, hey, I want you to know this wonderful, beautiful, fantastic Creator God who wants to be your Father and have a relationship with you and be reconciled to you, that no matter how far apart you've been from Him, you can be reconciled to Him again. That is the ministry we are given, the ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says, because He has reconciled all things unto Himself in His blood. That is Jesus. In Him all fullness dwells. Everything was made by Him and for Him. He's the firstborn of every creature. That is the Jesus we should know. That's the Jesus Paul was praying the Colossians would increase in their epignosis of, their true knowledge of Him. That deep relationship would grow. In this church body, we pursue with earnest passion a deeper, more intimate, more vital relationship with Christ our Savior. It is the cornerstone of our daily life. It is the cornerstone of our activity as believers. The reason that we have a meal together every Sunday afternoon is not so that, you know, we can sample each other's cooking. We can see who has the best meatloaf, which is clearly Anna. But I mean, that's not the point. The reason we do that is to provoke one another unto love and good works. The reason we do that is to help each other grow in relationship with the Lord. Relationship with each other should increase our relationship with Him. Everything we do should increase our relationship with God. It is the cornerstone, the guiding line. He is the guiding, the plumb line. He is the cornerstone that all the entire building is built. Peter talked about that, about Jesus being the cornerstone that the entire building, the church of God, is built upon. That each one of us are a stone built into the church itself as a whole. But as a local body of believers at Grace Bible Church, we also need to have everything we do and think and say and pursue be all about relationship with Jesus. That's what we're about. We proclaim to the world around us that the knowing Christ is more important than anything else we do. It's the reason for everything else we do. Knowing Christ is more important than how much money's in the offering. Knowing Christ is more important than what building we worship in. Knowing Christ is more important than how many people are in the room. Knowing Christ is the reason we do everything. It is more important than what time we start or what time we leave. It's more important than who plays the piano or if we have a piano at all. Knowing Christ is the point. And if that is happening here, God be praised. If that is not happening here, what is that word in Scripture? Ichabod. It means we are cursed. We have to be seeking, proclaiming relationship with God. In our relationships with our friends and our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, our strangers we run into. It's all about relationship. When people say, oh, well, you know, I don't really go to church.
Sometimes I say, I don't care. Just to shock them. I mean, I do care if they go to church. But they're like, well, you know, I don't really go to church that much anymore. And I usually say, you know, it's not really about where you go to church. It's about who you know. You can't become a Christian by going to church any more than you can become a car by going to a garage. You can't become a baseball player by going to a baseball diamond. You can't become a Christian going to church. You become a Christian by knowing Jesus, repenting of your sins, putting your faith in him, and that initiates that relationship with him. That must be the thing that our church proclaims. I think it's interesting that this phrase falls in the middle of this church vision. This passage we're studying, this phrase, increasing in the knowledge of God, is like right in the middle. It says to me that it's kind of like the hinge upon which everything else turns. Everything turns upon our relationship with him. He is everything. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He begins things and he ends things. And he's everything in between. Anything worth having or investing ourselves in must grow out of our relationship with the Lord. That must be the foundation of it all. Friends, if this body of believers is to go forward, we must go forward founding everything upon relationship with him. And we must remember that every method that we might employ, every means whereby we might try to draw in people or reach them or minister to their needs, it must all be founded upon a relationship with Jesus. And that needs to be the message that we are telling everyone that we know. I know this Jesus. This Jesus Christ has saved me from my sins. All that guilt and all that pain, all that heartache from my own sin, he's delivered me from that. I know him. He's a real guy. It's not just the God I worship. He's the friend I know. The friend I love. And his Father is my Father. I know my Father in heaven because Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, says in Romans. That is the point of it all. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why that section I sort of rewrote to help us understand. We will increase in deep relationship with our Father in heaven. That is our vision. We will increase. We will grow. And we will not do it because we make ourselves grow or we force ourselves. We will just allow the Lord to cause us to grow. We surrender to his work, to his Holy Spirit, working in me and bringing out of me a deeper and more fulfilling relationship. And from that comes everything else. And if we've lost sight of that, and in some ways, I really feel like I'm preaching to the choir today especially. Y'all know this. I know this, but I need reminded. Because it's easy for me to lose sight of the fact that knowing him is everything. It's easy for me to lose sight of that in the midst of 60-hour work weeks and baseball games and vacuuming and dishes and sermon writing and projects upon projects upon important things upon bills upon everything else that just sort of overwhelms you and just demands your attention. It's very easy to lose sight through all of that stuff, that the point of all this, the foundation of fulfillment in life, the meaning of everything, is knowing him. Knowing Jesus is the reason I breathe. And it needs to be the reason that we meet. The only reason that we should open those doors and continue paying to keep the lights on is because we can grow in our relationship with God. and because we can help others to grow in their relationship with God. That we can see fruit coming. What's that fruit meant? That fruit is to be unto relationship with Him. That's the reason I breathe, and that's the reason we exist as a body. That is our purpose, and that is our vision. And I hope, I pray this morning, that God has reminded you how important this is and how this needs to be the thing that we pursue with every fiber of our soul, to pursue knowing Him, because everything else comes out of it. And if something in our life is devoid or not drawing us into a better relationship with God, then it's worthless. Paul said, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He said, indeed, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. To gain more of Him is the point. Is the point. Let's be reminded of that, and let's make that the cornerstone of our faith. Of our faith individually and of our faith collectively as a group. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that You are great and mighty, and we are thankful that we can know You, that You've given us the opportunity to gain true knowledge. Precise, full knowledge of You through Your Word, through Your Spirit. We are grateful, so grateful, that You can fill us with these beautiful blessings. And we ask that You give us more, that You do it more. We ask for Your grace to be bestowed upon us that we might grow in You. I pray that You'd remind us in the midst of hardships and challenges and difficulties and stresses, remind us of the point of it all. Remind us to pursue a deeper relationship with You, to know You better. We thank You. We praise You. We know that You are great and that You love us. And we surrender and commit ourselves to You this morning for the glory of Your kingdom.